Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere.
Well, good morning. Praise the Lord for another beautiful day. And good to see all of you here. Indeed, if you're visiting with us, we welcome you and glad to have you. Hope that your day is blessed. Your time with us will leave you wanting more. Amen? That's what my desire is for you today. And we'll take our message today from the book of John, chapter 15, and beginning in verse 1. Before we get to that, got a couple of quick things. For those of you who have signed up in the back to receive or to get a copy of the books that I have available, they will be in tomorrow. So I'll be having those available here next Sunday. I'll set up a table and we can get those for those who want those. And autographs are $5. No, I'm just kidding. but we will have those, and I appreciate your support in that, and hope that after you read it, you'll still like me. But I want to thank all of you who came yesterday morning. We had a wonderful time for those who were here, and it was a good time, and I want to let you know, for those who were here and got to enjoy, my friend Terry Hall, afterwards he and I talked, and his schedule allows so, and so on March the 11th he will return. And he's going to be here on a Sunday morning, and we're just going to have a great time in the Lord, let me tell you. And so if you missed it yesterday, just a few months down the road, Brother Terry will be back with us, and this is going to be a great time. And also this week, I was gone last week, but this week, Tuesday night service will resume this week. So please come and be a part of that. So I think those are my announcements out of the way now. So, you know, I just thank the Lord every day for our church. I thank the Lord for the life and the livelihood and the excitement that we have here and all the different things. I'm glad that it's alive and well, aren't you? I'm glad that you're... You know, it'd be terrible. I just read a story earlier about a pastor who, down in Oklahoma, he had just gotten into town, and he was going to start pastoring a brand new church, or he was a new pastor of this church, and he'd been visiting with the folks, and something just didn't seem quite right. You know, people didn't seem to have a very excited spirit, and things seemed to be a little lulled, a little not happening so good. So he decided he'd go around and personally visit everybody and ask them to come on Sunday and be there and welcome this new ministry in and get things going. Well, Sunday came, and the church was pretty much empty. There was hardly nobody there. And he was very discouraged, and he decided he was going to see if he could get some people's attention. So he put a big notice in the paper that whatever the name of this church was dead. He put it in the obituary column. And he said, and everybody has a responsibility to come and honor the death of this church and pay respect. So I'm having a funeral next Sunday morning. So he had a coffin in front of the church and the whole nine yards, and a large crowd came out because of the curiosity. They're like, what in the world is he trying to do? What's going on here? And he stood from the pulpit, and he looked, and this closed coffin is standing right in front of the pulpit, and it's covered with flowers and all these different stuff. And he gave this tremendous, just hellfire and brimstone eulogy, and I mean, just really called down the gates of heaven. And then he opened the coffin. And he said, as you leave today, I want you to walk past this coffin, and I want you to look inside, and I want you to pay your final respects to this dead church. Well, they were completely filled with curiosity. Now they didn't know what to do, so they walked past, and each one of them had a shocked look as they look inside, and there was a mirror. You know, we praise the Lord, you know, that we aren't in that position, amen. And but you know, I love telling these stories, and I love making us laugh. But every now and then, there's people who try to do it that just don't do it very well. And I don't mean that ugly, but they just don't seem to have that humorous bit about them. They can't get the punchline, if you will. So was a pastor who decided he was going to go to this conference that was going to teach him how, because he felt he was humor impaired. And he went in and he listened to all these dynamic speakers and all this stuff. And the very first guy that came out, he boldly stood behind the pulpit. Man, he's just prancing back and forth and going all over. And he has the crowd's attention. And the very first thing he said was, the best years, the greatest years of my life were spent in the arms of a woman who was not my wife. Well, the place was like, oh my word, what in the world is he talking about? And the crowd was shocked. And he says, and that woman was my mother. And the crowd, of course, burst into laughter. And he delivered the rest of his sermon. And everything went great. Well, this young pastor who was humor impaired decided, you know what, man, I got to use that. That's great. So he goes to his church the next Sunday and he gets in the pulpit. And he says, you know, the greatest years of my life were spent in the arms of another woman who was not my wife. Well, his congregation almost had a heart attack. They just inhaled almost all the air that was in the room. And he stood there for a few seconds with a stunned face and he says, but I can't remember who she was. So you got to be careful when you go. So praise God. We just, you know, good to have God. Oh, I love being here. It's good to have you, and it's good to laugh in the house of God this morning. But let's get down to business. The benefits of abiding in Christ. When we look at what Jesus talks to us about in these passages that I'm going to share with you today, we begin to look deep and we begin to understand that without Him, just as the old song says, without Him, I would be nothing. Amen? That's what we got to have. We got to understand this relationship is important. We must be with Him. We need Him. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. And the Word of God says this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Each branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them in the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. Think about that. God Almighty has called us his friend. Oh man, think about that. Embrace that. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Now, I'm going to stop right there. I read on a little bit longer, but let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much that we could be here. Thank you, Lord, that you are holy. Thank you, Lord, that we can bow before you this morning, Lord. We can have the honor and privilege of coming before you today, Lord, to hear your word, both in song and spoken, Lord. We just pray now, Lord, that you would open our hearts and our minds, Lord, that we would be receptive to your word. We would hear, Lord, what it is that you have planned for this day. That, Lord, we would be obedient to whatever your call may be for our life. Lord, I just pray if there be one here today that needs a fresh touch, Lord. If they need an encouraging word. If they need to be healed. Lord, if they need to just come to know you for the first time. If they need direction for life. Whatever they need, Lord, that their need would be supplied today. Thank you for what you're going to do. I ask you, Lord, to touch this service and anoint, Lord. I just ask you to empty me, Lord, that it be you and not me. Fill me with your Spirit, Father, that your word would be preached today, uncompromised, Lord, and just filled with your truth. Thank you for what you're going to do. I ask you this in Jesus' mighty name. And we all said, amen. The word abide. The word abide, when we look it up, it means to stay in place. It means to remain unchanged. It means to wait for, to endure, to submit to. In other words, it is a constant. It is a stability. It is giving assurance. When we think about it, we live in an always changing and somewhat of a chaotic and unknown world. If we look around us that we live in, and when we realize that, we need stability in our life. We need something strong that we can hold on to, that we can trust in. For all of us who have come to faith in Christ, let me tell you, my friends, we have that. We have the ability. We have to abide in His presence. Because when we do that, when we abide with Him, we find the things that He offers. We see the peace that He, so often that in life we seek peace. People are seeking peace. We hear the word all the time. We want peace and peace and peace. We can find that in the person of Christ. We can have what we're seeking if we come to Him. So I want us to look today at the benefits of abiding in Christ, understanding what that really means. The word benefit, when we think of benefit, we think sometimes with a job, it comes with certain benefits, whether it's insurance or whether it's vacation or whether it's this or that. You know, there's always a benefit from something. Why? What you gain from it. In other words, something that helps, an encouragement to do something because something good is on the way. In the case of abiding with Christ, the benefits are unbelievable. They're absolutely unbelievable, both physical and spiritual. And in most cases, almost every case, it's both. Because our spiritual life grows, and when our spiritual life grows and we get closer to the Lord, oftentimes our life just gets better all the way around in all kinds of different ways. So today, when we look at what Jesus was saying here, when we look at what He's saying, He's speaking to others. And He always uses things that seem to be familiar. He uses things that we can grasp, sometimes even actually physically hold on to and look, and it makes sense. He can use illustrations sometimes to help explain things. And oftentimes I try to do that, and it helps just to clarify things sometimes. It's very helpful. Using items or subjects that we're familiar with often helps us things to see things easier. In this passage today, He speaks of the vine and the branches and how one depends on the other. Now, how true do we know that is? Let me show you. Here's a grapevine. This vine, once picked from its main branch, will no longer produce this fruit. It's dead. What's on it, once it's picked off, is gone. And we consume that or use that. But after it's taken away from the source that gives it life, it no longer produces anything, right? Jesus says, apart from Me, you can do nothing. He's called us to be fruit bearers. He says in this passage very clear that He is the vine and we're the branches. And if we abide in Him and He in us, we bear much fruit. He says, for without Me, you can do nothing. Here we see how that this one branch, it depends on the other. He's saying to us, you must abide in Me. In other words, you must depend on Me to be able to do and accomplish what I've asked you to do. He speaks here of our usefulness. In other words, producing. What are we producing? He said you are to be fruit bearers. He makes it clear throughout this illustration that we should not only depend on Him, but also because of what He does for us and what He gives us, we should be fruitful. And we should be productive for the kingdom. We should be doing things. We should be living lives that encourage people and draw people. Heard a beautiful song this morning called Draw Me, Lord, and I'll come run unto You. He's asking and giving us very, very clear words here as to what He wants from us. In these verses, we find the word abide 10 times in these first 11 verses. 10 times. We abide in Him. And Him and us. In other words, He offers us the stability, the strong tower of refuge that we need. We need that. You know, if you're ever out walking aimlessly and you have no idea where you're going, you know, you just get out here on the road one day and decide, you know what, I'm just going to start walking. I don't have any idea where I'm going. I don't have any clear destination. I don't know how to get there. I don't know if I'm going to go up this road or across that field or over this mountain. I don't have any clue. After a while, that's not a very good place to be. That aimless direction of life. So many people today we find have no idea where they're going. But even worse, they have no idea how to get there. Lost, the word lost goes beyond not knowing where you are. It means you don't know where you're going. People today need what Jesus is offering. He says here very clearly, apart from me, without me, you can do nothing. Have we ever found that to be true in our lives? Have you, before you came to know Christ, maybe our life was a whirlwind of all kinds of different things, no clear direction. We need something that will not waver. We need something in our life that will not fall. We need that strong tower that we know without a doubt, if I lean against it, it is going to stand firm. It is not going to bend. It is not going to sway. It is going to hold me up. We can fully trust in Him, my friends, in every complete way, with our whole life, every part of it, every part of it, from what we do at home to what we do wherever we work, what we do walking down the aisle at Walmart, or driving down the road with your kids, or going to an amusement park. It doesn't make any difference. Every part of our life can be fully trusted to lay in the Master's hand, the one who gave us life, the one who will protect us and take care of us. Can we say that, though, without a question or without a doubt about anybody else? No. No, we can't. And it's not because we intentionally try to hurt one another or set out to disappoint or let each other down. But we have the potential to do that, whether we mean to or not. But this is not the case with Jesus. He says, you can trust in me. You can lean on me. Abide in me and I in you. And without me, you can't do anything. But with me, you can do everything. He's saying here, trust in me. Put your life in my hands. There's three main benefits I want us to look at today of abiding in Christ. The very first one is it makes our prayer life powerful. It makes our prayers actually mean something. It truly gives them great strength. In other words, they become effective. They transform from just becoming words. They transform from not being able to get past the ceiling. They become real when we have Him in our life. Let's look at verse 7 again. It says, if you, and there, you know, the biggest, and I've told you this before, the biggest little word in the whole world is if. You got to grab onto that, because if you do this, if you do that, it changes everything. But he says here in verse 7, if you abide in me. In other words, if you will let me be the constant in your life and my words abide in you, let me guide you. You will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now think about what's being said here. We greatly benefit from a strong prayer life. We need that. I don't know how anybody could get through their day without spending some time with the Lord in prayer. You know, from good morning, Lord, and thank you, Father, for a new day, to Father, bless this night and let us get some rest. And if you so will that I be here tomorrow, give me another day in the morning. We benefit from a strong prayer life. But we have to understand everything that's involved. It's more than mere words. God hears and sees people praying all the time. But is it the words that are important, or is it what's in your heart? He looks at the heart. He wants to know whether we really mean it or not. We need to see what's all involved. Because one may read this passage and say, wait a minute, anything that I ask for, all I got to do is ask for it and it's going to be done? That sounds pretty good. That sounds real good. That sounds like carte blanche, man. You just got a blank check. You can do whatever you want, right? Ask for whatever you want. It's going to be done. That's not what he's saying here. God wants to know the trueness of our heart. He wants the trueness of our heart. He wants to know the real desire. Why is this our desire? Why are we looking for this? Why do we want this or that? And it's not even about a want as far as a physical need. It's all kinds of different things. He wants to know, do we really believe He will? Not whether He can. We already know that part. He wants to know whether we believe He will. He wants to know our faith. The acceptance of His answer is key to our prayer life. The acceptance of His answer and understanding God's will versus my will. Because oftentimes, the answer God has for us is not what we were actually looking for, right? Because God knows best. And sometimes the willingness in our hearts that God sees to accept that answer has a great effect on the answer to that prayer. Because oftentimes God doesn't answer it the way we want it, right? You know, there was an old show back in the 50s said, Father knows best. There's a lot to that. We need to understand here that God's will versus my will is a key, key component to our prayers being answered. James 5 and 16 says this, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. All right, now what is being said here? Fervent, that word fervent, it means intensity of spirit. It means hot. It means enthusiasm. It means burning. In other words, it means real serious. How serious are our prayers? Are they just fleeting words as we pass through? Or are they the real deal? Righteous. Now that word righteous, in whose eyes? As we stand before God, as we make requests known before God, are we in God's will? Are we in God's will? Because Psalm 16 and 18 says this, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. How are we approaching God? In what condition are we in when we stand before a holy God who cannot be in the presence of sin, who cannot listen to that and be a part of that? We must understand we cannot go before Him. And I try to help people understand this. And the Bible says very clearly in different places, if you come before me with hatred in your heart toward your brother, I don't hear you. Go back and make that right and then come back. He says here, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Oftentimes I've heard people say, I don't think God hears my prayers. Self-examination is key. That's what I addressed that in the book there. God's will versus my will. Who do people see when they see me? If I'm representing Him. Self-examination. Because if there is anything in our lives, whatever it may be, that needs to be cleaned up first, if there's any bad feelings towards someone, if there's any ungodly thoughts, if there's any unrepented sins against God that need to be taken care of, Jesus says clearly here, if we abide in Him and His Word in us, we have to ask the question, is He present in my life? Is He there? Because He says, if He is, then whatever I ask, He'll take care of it in His way. So our question to ourselves is, have I allowed Him to be there? Have I allowed Him to be in my life completely? Not just a head knowledge. Have I truly allowed Him to move into my heart? It's often said there's only 18 inches from heaven to hell, from here to here. You know, we can hear about it all we want here. Have we allowed Him to move in to where He really can do His greatest work? Do we allow His words? Do we allow His words to guide our actions and our thoughts? Because the Bible says in the book of James that salt water and fresh water cannot come out of the same fountain. What do people hear when they hear us out and about doing stuff? Not just here on Sunday morning, but when you're out tomorrow afternoon. Or when you're, you know, walking down the store, the other, you know, other different places. What do people see? That's what's important. Abiding in the Lord. It's about consistency. It's about stability. And these are things, my friends, we need. We need these things. We need something to hold on to. We can't have something that wavers. We can't have something that's wish-wash. We see that in the world all the time. In our, whether it's in your political structures or whether it's in your in this or that. You know, we'll tell you one thing today, but I don't really mean it tomorrow. That's not what God does for us. He gives us one answer. And it's all the time. And it's the same thing all the time. My way. Just follow me. Abide in me. Let me abide in you. And I'll change your life. I'll change your life. The importance of having this stability. The importance of having this consistency in our life and in our prayer life is immeasurable. We need this. We have to have it. Think of it when you're in times of trial. And really, all hell has come against you. The bottom has fell out. Everything's gone wrong. We need somebody that we can turn to and fully trust. We need someone that we can lean on that will not let us down. When we're in times of despair, when there seems to be no answer, none that we can find, no way clear, when the world seems to be falling down all around us, when our health is fleeting and strength just seems to be gone, when we have, you know, people turn on us, we have things break our heart, we need what He offers. We need it. We need to embrace it. We need to grasp it. We need to hold on to it with every ounce of strength we have and never let it go. And that's what He says here. Abide in Me. Lean on Me. And I'll never let you down. Trust Him. To abide in the Lord means to be prayed up. It means to be prayed up all the time, because we know this to be true. We don't always have time to get ready for the unexpected. You never know where it's going to come from. Jesus said when He comes back, it will be in an hour that no one knows. Not even Harold Cummings. But some of you will get that. But He said in an hour that no one knows. And no one knows. He said, I'll come in like a thief in the night. How do you prepare for that? You just got to be ready. How do we prepare for those unexpected things in life? Well, no, we don't like them when they come up. Those potholes that you're driving down the road, you didn't see it, it knocks your car out of line. Sometimes we have those in life. Jesus says, abide in Me, and I'll guide you through those times. Abiding in Him assures us the peace of knowing that He keeps His promise. And He said, I will never leave nor forsake you. He is always there. He hears every prayer, and He is faithful and true. He walks by our side. In His love we can hide all the day through. It's a verse from a beautiful old song. The second benefit, we know and we see the need for a strong and effective prayer life. But we also must need to realize that our fruit bearing must be consistent. It must be constant all the time. In other words, always producing. It says in verse 8, but this my Father, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Not just a little bit. Not just every now and then. Not just when you feel like it. He said that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Now with the Lord abiding in Him, we have the opportunity to never stop producing. We can do something all the time. Even in our fleeting years, we can still have an effect on people's lives. We never run out until the last breath goes from our body and we get to go home to be with the Lord. We have an opportunity to be fruit bearers. We have the opportunity to do something. Some people think that that's not true, that we have to quit at a certain time and we got to hang it up. That's not what God says at all. It's just like this grapevine I had for you that I showed earlier. Once it is separated, it produces no more. No more. Whatever's on it, that's what's on it. I ate the rest of those, by the way. No, I'm just kidding. But we have to abide in Him always. That's why He says, apart from Me, without Me, you can do nothing. Now, what does the word nothing mean? Just that. You know, nothing. In the Greek, that means nothing. I'm just kidding. But we see, you'll get that in a minute. Now, in verse 15, it says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friend. I have called you friend. For all the things that I heard my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose Me, but I chose you and appointed that you should go and do what? Bear fruit. That you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That it should remain. Now this grapevine here, if I go and lay it on a counter somewhere or on the floor here and leave it here for the rest of the week or 2 weeks, those few grapes are going to dry up. They're not going to be any good. And there will never be any more on there ever again. Never. He says here, I called you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. In other words, it's going to continue. It's going to be constant. He chose each of us. It says that he calls us unto him. He chose each of us. And with that choosing, with that coming unto him, he commands, not suggest, he commands that we bear fruit. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? We're not going to start, branching vines off of us and growing apples. What does it mean? It simply means this. Does the way you live, do the things that you do, do the things that you say influence anybody to want to come to know Jesus? Think about that. Does anything in your life want to produce more of what you have? Is anybody else want it? Do they see what we have? We go to an apple tree and has produced a bountiful harvest. The limbs are hanging down almost on the ground. The desire of what that tree has produced makes us want to pull it off, right? You want to take that apple. You want to consume that apple. You want to reap the benefits of that harvest. That's what Christ is saying about our life. Do people see something in me, something in you that says, I want what you have? Let me reach up and pick a big old handful of it. That's what we want. That's what he's saying about us. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Are we helping grow the kingdom? Because Jesus says here, if we abide in him, if we abide in him, not only will we be fruitful, but it will remain that way. It will keep doing that. He says, apart from me though, you can do nothing. So we need to keep the vine connected to the branch, right? We need to keep plugged into what it is he offers. Again, look at verse 16. It says, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. I chose you, and I appointed that you should go. What's the first two letters in the word gospel? G-O, go. That's what he wants us to do. He says, go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask in the Father, in my name, he may give you. The fruit that we are to bear is to be visible and it is to be consistent. It shouldn't be hidden. It shouldn't be hidden. We go to a naked tree that all the fruit is gone. You just look at it, right? You don't get anything from it. You just look at it. It's there because it has nothing to offer. The same thing comes to our lives. The same thing comes to our church's life and the health and the benefit of what comes from being here. If we offer nothing, then people get nothing. If you go to Safeway tomorrow and every shelf is empty, you can walk through there and look at it, and that's about it. You don't get anything from it. When we enter the doors here, when you hear something coming from this pulpit or from a song or whatever, it needs to be not just for entertainment or not just for, oh, it's nice. No, it needs to do something to create something. That's what we're supposed to be doing, creating stuff, bearing fruit. It also includes bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. It is joy, peace, long-suffering, that's patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such is no law. So we have to ask ourselves when we look at that, are these things evident in my life? Because if they are, I'm going to be bearing fruit. Because people are going to see that is what I need, that is what I want, that is what I desire. Abiding in Christ, abiding in the person of Jesus helps us to ensure that those things are there. It helps us to ensure that we can do this. By ourselves, no. Because he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. But he says, with me, man, you can be like an orchard. You just got it. You just got it. And people want it. Now, a lot of times with these things, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and all these different things, sometimes we may not, if that becomes who we are, if we're living and abiding in the person of Christ, sometimes it becomes so much who we are that we don't even realize that we're still bearing fruit. Because that's just who we are. That's our character. That's our person. Because when our life is consistently filled with the joy of the Lord, it's just who we are. And we may not know all the fruit that we're producing. We may not know how effective it is until we get to heaven. And somebody walks up to you and says, you know what? Thank you. Thank you for what you did for me back when we were in the other life. thank you because of what you said, or that kind word, or that message you shared, or that song you sang, or that meal you cooked for me, or whatever the case is why I came to know Christ. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai, the Bible says he was shining. His face was shining after being in the presence of God, and he didn't even know it. He was affecting people, and he was not even aware. It was just there, and other people could see it. The Bible says here, if we abide in Christ, he's just there, and other people will see it. If you let him be there, other people will see it. And I assure you this, somewhere, someday, somebody is going to ask you how they can have it. It's just going to happen. If you let Jesus shine, people will see it. And they will ask you, how can I have what you got? How can I have it? And then the opportunity to bear fruit will be right at hand. The third benefit, lastly, as we begin to close, we see the benefit that our prayer life receives when we abide in Christ. We see that our fruit will increase and remain if we abide in Christ. But also, he says, when we abide in him, that our joy can be full. How much of us do we need joy today? I would hope all of us today need a little joy. Because life seems to want to take that away, don't it? We got a whole lot of joy stealers out there. You know, there's a lot of things that want to take our joy away from us, that want to take away what God gave us. And we don't need to let anybody take it. He says, if you come to me, we'll have joy beyond compare. It says in verse 11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you. That doesn't mean that it goes away. It says, remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Now, how many of you have been to the buffet and left full? Huh? You can't hold another thing. You're about to bust. You need some stretchy pants on. You know, I mean, you can't take any more. The Lord says here, I want to fill you with my joy. To be full means to be filled. It means to be satisfied. It means to contain all that is possible. All that is possible. That's how He wants our joy to be. That's how He wants our joy to be. So many times today, we look around us and we see so many people who have lost their joy. They've lost their zeal, their smile, their everything. And even worse, there's those who've let it be stolen. The Bible says here, joy can be full. And I'm telling you, joy stealers have no place in your life. And if you've got one in your life, get rid of it. And I mean that. God says, I give you my joy. And if God gave it to me, I'm not going to let nobody else take it away. Amen? We need to put the devil in his right place, and that's under our feet. Abiding in Christ, it allows us to understand there's a whole nother level of joy. It's not just a fleeting moment. It's not just, oh, this is great. Oh, okay. It doesn't go like that. You know, it's not like that present that you can't wait to open. Man, it's wrapped up. It's gorgeous. Man, it's got bows and ribbons and sparkles and glitter. You rip it open and it's a pair of socks. You know, it's not like that. You know, it's not that joy that gets built up and then gets tore down. He says, my joy can remain in you and I want my joy to be full. In other words, he's saying, my joy don't end. My joy don't end. It allows us to find joy even in the worst of situations. No, not everything in life is always perfect. No, we have our bumps and we have our bruises. We have our ups and we have our downs. But the joy of the Lord, he says, remains in you, which means I can still find something to hang on to. Amen? That's what abiding in Christ means. That means I'm still there. It says in the book of Acts that Paul and Silas found joy even when they were in jail. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever been in jail. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But that's not a joyful place. You know, I put a whole lot of people in there and never had to stay. But I used to put people in there all the time. And let me tell you, that's not a joyful place. But they focused on Jesus. They didn't focus on what was around them. They didn't focus on all the how they'd been put in there for the wrong reasons. They didn't focus on being done wrong. They didn't focus on this guy over here is probably, you know, oh, I didn't do anything wrong. They didn't focus on none of that kind of stuff. They focused on Jesus and what he had done for them. And they were joyful. When we focus on Jesus, my friends, when we never take our eyes off of the Lord, when we focus on what he's done for us, the completed work of the cross, we can find joy. No matter what the situation is, no matter what's going on. And it says they were so joyful, they found so much joy while they was in jail, they started to sing. And it says not only did they start to sing, but it says other people heard them. And praise God, the jailer got saved. They found joy. They found joy immeasurable. That's fruit bearing, my friends. That's holding on to what God says I can have if I abide in Him. What we learn to see is when we start abiding in the Lord, we learn to see that our life here, as we're passing through, the Bible says the life is but a vapor. As we're passing through, we learn to see that it's what it is. We learn to embrace it. We learn to accept it. We learn to see that that's what it is. But what we really learn to see is beyond what we have now. We learn to see that this joy that the Lord says I can have, it don't just end here. It doesn't all end at the grave, my friends. We learn to see that the glory that awaits us, it's all worth it. We learn to see that what stands before us, it's all worth it. Our examples, our joy, our attitude, everything are the examples of Christ abiding in us. Do people see Jesus alive and well in you? Or is he sitting in the corner sucking his thumb? Think about it. What do people see? It's so, so important. Do people see him? He said, I told you all of this so that your joy could be full. Full. We as believers have been called to live the abiding life. We've been called to live in Him. What we need, my friends, we need what He offers. We need it in order to keep going. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Every one of us in this room today, at some point in time in our life, whether it was younger, whether it was older, whenever, every one of us has tried to do it alone. Somewhere along the way, we've tried to do it alone. And that only gets you so far. And even then, most of the time, it's almost never to the right place. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. He can and He will make it better. All you got to do is trust Him. All you got to do is come to Him. Confess before Him. Ask Him to cleanse you, forgive you, be made whole, be made new. And then not only does He hear our prayers, but then He starts answering. He changes your life. We need to be conscious of what we do and how it affects others as we bear fruit. Is it desirable? Got another little illustration here for you. Is your fruit desirable? If you like bananas, you'd want that, right? Or is it like this one? Think about that. I don't think you'd want to light into that one too good, would you? What do people see? Who do people see? Think of who we are speaking about. We are speaking of the one, God Almighty, the Creator of all, who here in His Word in verse 15 says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friend. That changes everything. That changes everything. Abiding in Jesus. What a way to live. What a way to live. I want to share this poem that was written in 1847. How many of you were here? I'm just kidding. But 1847. Now, sometime very not long after that, someone put music to these words and made a tremendous, wonderful old classic hymn that we just don't sing anymore. And that's a shame because these words are unbelievable. 1847, Henry Light wrote these words, "Abide with me. Fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and all comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide in me. Swift to close ebbs out life's little day, earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay, and all around I see, O thou who changest not, please abide in me. I need thy presence every passing hour. What by thy grace can foil the tempter's power? Who like thyself my guide and stay can be? Through cloud and sunshine, Lord, abide with me. I fear no foe, with thee at hand to bless. Ills have no weight, and tears no bitterness. Where is death's sting? Where grave thy victory? I triumph still, if thou abide in me. Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's vain shadows flee. In death, in life, O Lord, abide in me." Isn't that awesome? 200 years old. It hadn't lost a thing. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we just love you. Thank you so much for all that you've done for us on this beautiful, awesome, great day that you have given us. Lord, I pray that something here that has been said today, Lord, has affected someone in some way. Father, I just pray, Lord, for your continued presence throughout the remainder of this time now as we close. I pray, Lord, that we understand the need and the necessity, Lord, and the true benefit if we'll just turn our life over to you. Lord, the benefit that comes from abiding in Jesus. I just pray, Lord, that now in this time of invitation, that lives, Lord, would be touched. If someone, Lord, needs a fresh touch from you today, Lord, if someone is seeking something, I pray, Lord, that they would not wait, that they would not waver, Lord, that they would just come. Whether it's to this altar, Lord, or whether it's right there in that chair, Lord, just come to you and make things right today. We give you this time in the mighty name of Jesus, and we all said, amen and amen. Please stand.